Well, are you ready for the next year? Ready to say goodbye to the last one and excited about the next one? Something great about new opportunity, although there's never a real new opportunity. It's you grow into new things. And I think a lot of us faith people miss the understanding of growing and the part of growing that's important to receiving. You know, in other words, some of us are believing for something, but we're not growing into it. It's very simple. It's hard to take step number five until you take step number one. You know, the Word promises us many things, but some of the things we have to grow into. We have to grow and mature into being able to walk in those things. I remember when I first started asking God about finances, God, will you bless me with millions of dollars? And I begin to confess, I'll write checks for millions of dollars. You know, he began to convict me. His answer to that prayer was to convict me on handling what I had in my hand and to be responsible for what I had, which was the proof of my faith was being responsible with what I had in my hand and not just saying that I'll have millions of dollars. Let's say you're called to Africa. You know, I'll pick on my wife sometimes if she's like, well, you know, not content with what we have. You know, sometimes both of us are not content with what we have. Wish we had more or something nicer. And we always remind ourselves, what if God called us to move to Africa and live in the jungle somewhere? Would we do it? Well, we better do it. Yeah, that's part of following God. Amen. Is obedience. But if you're called to live in the jungles of Africa or the Amazon in Brazil to reach a tribe, how many know you're not going to be able to believe in a new Porsche? Because there's no roads. Believe in I want a three-story house with a white picket fence. My point is you can't believe for something that's out of God's will. And if prosperity means to you something that is contrary to your calling, you're going to be let down over and over and over again because your path to prosperity is different than my path to prosperity. You can't drive by the neighborhood and pick out the biggest house, and you can confess over that house, call that house yours, you can march around it seven times. But if it's not in the will of God for you to live in that city, then how many know that those confessions of faith, prayers of faith, are not going to be answered? Because the answer for God is always in His will. Always must contain His will for your life. The world wants certain things, certain standards. Let's look over in John chapter 15. Now the disciples are pestering Jesus with questions. And Jesus is answering them. Look at verse 22 of chapter 14. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? So Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I love this about Jesus. He's given credit to the Father for everything. So even the words that I share with you, he says, aren't mine. I'm just repeating what the Father has told me. They're his. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, say the Helper. Is that the same in the King James? Comforter. Comforter, Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things which I said to you. Peace I have with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is verse 27 of chapter 14. Let's read that again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So take a moment. and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your peace. Said, now the peace he has is not the same as the peace that the world has. He's not even trying to give you peace that the world has. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So say with me, I will not be afraid. I have peace that comes from the Father. That is not of this world. Say that one more time. I have peace that is not of this world. You have peace available to you that's not of this world. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Verse 1, chapter 15. Now remember, he's not changing subjects. He's still talking about the world. He's still talking about their path. Right now, they're not born again, but he's given them the pathway to be born again. Who is he sending as their comforter, their helper, the teacher after he goes? The Holy Spirit. Look at me real quick. Jesus did not leave the disciples wandering without a leader, without someone to follow, without someone to teach them, without someone to lead them, without someone to comfort them, to guide them, to bring peace to them. He did not leave them on their own. Now, this is a principle of the world. You're on your own. If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to die. If you don't plan for your future, you're going to starve. You'll be one of the homeless guys living on the street asking for food. Now, how many of you have had that thought go through you as you follow God? When he begins to strip you away of all your power in this world, you begin to think, you know, I'm really close to the edge here. Just one bad moment, and the first thing that happens, you start to question. Now, you can confirm if this is true for you as it is for me, and I see Gary waving his hand, amen. And I'm really close to the edge here, God. You know, if you don't come through, I'm going to drown. Have you had that discussion? That's the first thing you say. The second thing you say is, oh God, don't look at my life. Don't look at my weaknesses, because surely you will reject me. You got me where I need you, but then I'm vulnerable to you rejecting me because I'm not perfect yet. See, how many have had that thought? And then you begin to question, okay, maybe I can fix it. Do you ever have the natural mind step in and go, wait, I got the answer? And then if your natural mind doesn't get it, your friend's natural mind will come in and say, you know, you should just fix it with this. You should just fix it with that. And that's with every battle you go through. You want to battle with your marriage. You want to battle with your family, with your finances, with your health. Someone will always stick their hand in there and go, wait, I have something for you. Be careful, it's a multi-level product, because that's usually trouble. I have something to fix your finances, to fix your health. Just sign up here. And then if you sign up 10 friends, then, you know, anyways, I won't pick on them too much. But the world says, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to die. And in partial, that's the truth. If you don't plan for your retirement the right way, if you don't plan ahead, if you don't use the system, the whole world has a system that works. A system of entertainment for each of you. Each of you, there's a whole system of entertainment already developed for you to step in and flourish. You like horses? You know there's a whole system of horses all around in every city in America. You can go horseback riding. You can go horse jumping. You can raise horses. You can buy horses. You can whatever you want with horses. I don't know much about horses, but I know there's a whole world of horses that I never knew existed until I discovered it. I have a friend who raises horses, or I'd say I know a man who raises horses, and they show them off. They have a whole competition where they bring their horses from around the world to different places, and they prance. Some horses prance, some horses dance. I don't know what they do, but you know, I've seen, you know, 50-year-old big-bellied man riding a little horse around, prancing, showing off his horse. And I thought, I don't know if that really matches, but he's proud as it can be of his horse and spend all his money on his horse. They have motorcycle clubs if you like motorcycles. They have car clubs if you like cars. I don't even know what the girls have available, but there's girls' stuff everywhere. Every mall is a girls' club, I'm assuming. But girl makeup, girl, not just picking on girls being pretty, but, you know, there's a whole clubs for everything. You know, my mom collects dolls, like dolls that look real that are expensive porcelain dolls. She collects them, and she, in her will, has them assigned to each of her grandkids to carry on. And, you know, I hope the grandkids like them. But to my mom, it's her word. She loves it. She's like, oh, I can't believe what I found. Maybe you had someone tell you that, I can't believe what I found, and they're telling you their story, and you're yawning, oh, that's nice, but because that's not your... The world has developed entertainment to help you pass this life away and have some pleasure, because life is born without entertainment. For some people, it's money club, how to make money. For some people, it's family. I had one lady come to me, and she said, you know, I have a question, I have a problem, because I've been trying to find a church and a pastor, but I've yet to find a pastor who has disciplined kids like I have. And I have a hard time respecting a pastor whose kids aren't as perfect as mine. And she homeschooled her kids, and I was looking at her, and I could tell the pride in her. She had pride in her kids, but she was using that pride in her kids to justify pride of not being a part of a church. Not being under any kind of authority to speak into her life. And she's wanting me to applaud her for her raising of her kids and then to justify her not submitting to a pastor. And I said, well, I said, first of all, your kids are young. Give them some time, you know. And I said, I don't know if I can recommend a pastor who only has perfect kids. I said, but there's a lot of good men and women out there who can speak into your life. That in other areas possibly, you know. But I found that she was replacing family with following God. And if I were to figure out what I'm trying to preach on today, it would be your calling, your obedience to God is bigger than your prosperity, than your desires. Faith only works with obedience. Faith outside of obedience is not faith. It's presumption. Amen. Good preaching, Alan. Way to end the year, right? That's good preaching right there. So the world has a structure built to entertain people for their life. For every person, what do you like? There's something for you. There's something developed. They have model airplanes. They have parachute clubs. They have bungee jump clubs. They have golf. They've got everything that a human could come up with for entertainment is already there, been developed. It's there. There's also systems of finances and prosperity, of wealth, structure, of how for you to succeed in the world and with what you have, how to live life and be successful. Some people care about a big house. Some people don't care. Some people care about family. Some people care about cars. Harrison and I were driving around yesterday. He said, Daddy, why is it that some of these houses are in bad shape, but the cars are super nice? I mean, in some of the houses we drove by, we were going to drop off some mail. The houses were worth less than the car in the driveway. I said, why do you think that is? And he said, well, because they spend all the money on their car instead of their house. And it wasn't just once. It was like five in a row. People are so odd sometimes when you think logically, right? Like, why would you care to have a Corvette brand new shiny in your house, which is your car is worth twice as much as your house is, you know? drive a junker, live in a nicer house. You still get there, just not as fast, maybe, or as, you know, the guy down the road built his house right next to the highway. It's got to be a $1 million house, maybe a $2 million house. It's a mansion right next to the highway. Now, if you live in a city, you understand that the highways are louder than the neighborhoods. And there's trucks going by. I suppose if you build a $2 million house, or however much the house is worth, you probably can soundproof it a little bit. But in my view, he owns probably 100 acres right there in that area. Why don't you build a house over the hill where you can see the nice creek and the little lake and no one can see your house and just have a longer driveway? Why would you build a house right next to the highway? You have the answer? I have the answer. Because he didn't build the house for his pleasure. He built the house so you would think, that's a rich guy right there. Wow, what a house. Because that's what makes him feel worth something, you know. And when you follow God, all these things you're going to have to give up. I hate to tell you. You have to give up your right to all these things. Once you give it up, you'll find that he'll probably let you enjoy it again, but it won't have a power over you that it used to have. How many have been through that, where you follow God to let go of something, and then after you let go of it and you go through all that suffering of fighting it off, he says, okay, you can have it back. You're like, what? Why? Because he needed you to kill the power of that thing to lead you, because he only wants one person to lead you, one desire to lead you. That's him. So you can't follow Christ without having this in your heart: my Father is my boss. My life belongs to him. Anything outside of that, any prayer outside of that, is not faith. It's not biblical faith. Any prayer outside of his will is not biblical faith. Father, I like the person down the road as my spouse. I don't like my spouse anymore. I want another spouse. I confess for that spouse. Well, you're already married. You can't confess for another person's spouse. Right? I mean, that's to the extreme. But you understand, you are important to God. Your life is important to his plan. Your life following God is vital to him succeeding in revival. It's not on the shoulders of one person. It's on the shoulders of the body. God has a plan for you. But the only way you are ever going to follow that plan is when you come to a place of submission and you give up your power to be led by anything other than his will. This is where religion is built. Right here at this moment. Right here at this moment is where religion is built. Where you can serve God and leave the will of your flesh alone. That's where all religions, little temples are built. All religion, no matter what name it has, the same principle. I can serve God, but not confront my will, the will of my flesh. That is where all religion is birthed. God, I will work this job to make extra money so I can have the house of my dreams, and I'll serve you by giving you extra money. I'll serve you by feeding the poor more. I'll do this and this and this for you. When I overseen the Bible college, we'd have students come. Every couple of weeks they would come. And they would say, after the first couple of weeks of school, I'd have a group come to me and say, you know, Pastor Allen, I don't believe I'm supposed to be here anymore. And I'd say, well, what's going on? And what happened was, after a couple of weeks or after 2 months, they would hit themselves. It's easy to be busy. The hardest thing is confronting yourself. And they would learn that they had to, on this path, confront themselves. And rather than confront themselves, they would want to change course. There are some things that you can't go around in this life. There are some things you can't go over, you can't go under, You can't wish them away. You can't make them disappear. You can't believe away your flesh. You have to mortify your flesh. And so when they hit that part, because the flesh isn't just smoking and drinking. Paul was concerned about his flesh. Paul didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He wasn't around messing with the girls. He was concerned about his flesh leading him in the mission of following God. He was so concerned about it that he would talk about denying his flesh. Denying his flesh wasn't the same as us Americans denying our flesh. Here's a man raised in the Bible, in Scripture, in the Old Testament, trained in holiness attributes. But from him, it was a discipline of the flesh until he got saved. So out of your flesh will come many ideas, opinions, desires. And guess what? If you're going to fulfill your mission in this life, you have to let go of the power to live how you want. You have to let go of the power to lead your steps, to find security in anything other than your Father. This is the peace that Jesus is talking about. The peace I'm going to give you is not of this world. In other words, the world has peace. But Jesus has peace that's different than the world. It doesn't come with, we call them signposts. I call them signposts. See, when you're going down the road, it says 35 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour. And in life, we have these signposts in our life that says, at the age of 35, you should have this much in your bank account. You should have this much in your life. You should have this big of a house. You should have this much of a job. This nice of a car. At the age of 45, you should have this. At the age of 55, you should have this. And when you follow God, there's many times that you start to hit those signposts and you start to question. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't I have this now? Shouldn't I have this now? How many have hit those signposts? See, you're not allowed to have those signposts because you're following a different structure. Those signposts are built by the world to give you a measurement of your success in life. But in God's kingdom, how many know he measures things differently than the world measures things? Let's look over in Galatians. Keep your fingers there in John. We'll try and come back there. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, grace to you and peace. This is verse 3, chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still pleased man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. See, here's a choice you have to make. This is for each of us. And is God walks us closer and closer down this path as we mature. You have a choice. Are you going to please man with your life? Because if you please man, you can't please God. If your life is about pleasing man or pleasing yourself or pleasing your spouse or pleasing your kids, you can't be a bondservant of Christ. Let me read this again, verse 10. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still pleased man, Thank God for the still, because we've seen that he had to go through a process of not pleasing men. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You have to make a choice. And in your life, you'll have to make many choices. If you're living to please men or yourself, that eliminates you as being a bondservant of Christ. Bondservant is another word for slave. Servant. A slave is told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. This may be hard for our American ears to hear. But in serving God, there's a life of doing what you're told. Living where you're told. Working where you're told. See, that means that the only answer you should have in your vocabulary when it comes to God, not when it comes to relationship, but I'm talking about in obedience to him, it's yes, sir. See, you can say yes, sir, or no, sir. Lord, where do you want me to live? Lord, where do you want me to work? But God, this job over there offers me more. That would make sense, wouldn't it? That I would have the job that offers me better time and more money? That would make good sense, because I'm a child of God. Amen. And I deserve to be blessed, because blessed is he. And I'm above and not below. I have a chance to get a job above in management instead of being below where I'm working. God, that makes good sense. That is wisdom. That is good future. That is, and they got a good retirement plan. And how many know what I'm talking about? The arguments that come of trying to justify living a life based on worldly principles instead of living a life based on following him. I'll never forget the man. I love this man. Such a good, tender-hearted man. Loves children. Just loves kids. And I remember having a discussion with him 15 years ago. He said, you know, I just want so bad to go full-time into kids' ministry. And I would love that. And it just would be such a great thing, but I have another 20 years before I retire. And if I just finish this out after I retire, then I'll be free. See, then I'll be free to do what I feel I'm supposed to do. And how many know 20 years he's still working, trying to get across the line of retirement, because retirement means his business will pay him so much money every month. That isn't unless the business goes bankrupt right after he retires. Then all of that is gone. Another man came to me and said, you know, I got this business opportunity. He said, I got a great business opportunity. And what I can do is I can buy this and sell this. And don't you know that it's going to be easy? I have a friend who does it. I just need $120,000. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to borrow money from people and get them all to help me. I don't think he was trying to get me to help him, because he knew I didn't have that. And what I can do with this business opportunity is it will provide so I have more time to pray. And wouldn't it be awesome to be able to go preach and not have to receive an offering? Don't you think that's God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I said, you need to stop right there. I said, I did not hear anywhere in your conversation you say, God told me I should do this. I just heard you justify why you should do that in the name of God. And I said, that never works out. Because some people in this world have the ability to make things move and make things happen. They have a natural ability, a work ethic. You know, they don't need God to make it work. They can make it work. But most of us, things like that, you're rolling the dice, because naturally, if God's not in it, you're going to fail at it. And you can ask me how I know, but you don't have to ask me how I know. And sure enough, he failed at it. The bottom fell out of it. He lost all that money and lost a lot of friends because of it. Listen, we're not of this world. The one luxury that you have to let go of, and it's really not a luxury once you figure it out, it's actually a chain, is trying to make things to take care of your life rather than letting God lead your steps. And some of us don't like where God leads us because he leads us usually to places of mortifying things in our life. He leads us to a place of laying down power to be successful in other people's eyes. A place of humility where they can look at you. Where people can look at you and think you're not worth much. But God looks at you and says, that's my general. That's my champion. That's a servant who's laid their life down. See, the world does not recognize what God recognizes. God promotes you for reasons that man won't promote you. You have to choose many times, not just once, many times in this life. Am I here to please myself? Or am I here to be a bondservant of Christ? Being a bondservant of Christ means your steps belong to him, no matter where they take you. Let's go back to John, verse 18, chapter 15. I remember some of the arguments my natural soul came up with when I was being pulled into facing my giant of poverty. And it's that season where God told me, I don't want you to preach. Christy's pregnant. We just left any kind of provision we had into this new world. And the Lord told me, I don't want you to preach. I want you to sit and pray and get to know me. And I begged him, God, not at first, but when the money was not showing up, is beginning to squeeze at the end of the month. I remember I was eating Gary's messages just to make sure I wasn't crazy on his walk. And I remember thinking, God, because my problem was not that I didn't believe that God was a great provider. My problem was that I didn't believe I was worthy of him providing for me. When the squeeze came, when the finances weren't there to make it through the month or the beginning of the next month, and we had to believe every month we went broke. Every month we make it over the hump, and then our bills came on the 1st and the 15th. We had certain bills we had to make, and every 31st and every 14th I would be crying and sweating and begging and praying. And sure enough, God came through every time. It took him over 2 years to prove to me. It took 2 years for my spiritual man to prove to my natural man that God loves me enough to provide for me. That's when my natural man began to submit and quiet down. Because you have that argument, right, where you feel peace on the inside that you can't violate, but the outward man's screaming in terror because your inner man's being led into this walk where the natural man has no idea how to manage in this world. The natural man that you carry has no idea how to manage in the spiritual realm. It will try to box you in to its standards, to its rules, but it has no heavenly idea how to operate in the spiritual world. But your inner man does. Your inner man, the spiritual man that you are, believes and knows God as a father. The natural man only understands God as someone way up in heaven. You do good, you get good back. You do bad, you get bad back. You give an offering, you get something back. See, it's a give and take. There's a relationship built on offerings. I'm going to offer my time in worship, God, and you will give me, reward me with something back. I will offer my money, and you will reward me. Isn't it amazing? How many believed in the hundredfold return? And how long did you and I believe in that before we figured out, okay, this isn't really working? Seriously, think about it. How long did you believe that? Okay, it's a hundredfold. I give a dollar, and I remember being taught, it's not just 100 times. It's 100-fold. So $1 becomes 2, that's one-fold. 2 becomes 4, that's two-fold. 4 becomes 8, that's three-fold. I'm already unable to keep that. I'm like, man, a dollar gets me lots back. You know, what a way to receive an offering and then leave town and and leave everyone wondering, where's my fold? You know, and what's the first thing you question? Okay, I'm just not worth enough for that. I didn't have enough faith for it. And so it's a trick of the flesh to feel like I can do something to earn something from God. Well, let's not do that with our walk as well. God, I want to give you my prayer time and you'll give me something back. See, I don't pray in tongues to give God hours as an offering. The only reason I pray in tongues is because I'm tired of fighting the same mountain, going around the same mountain over and over again, that I need someone to help me figure out how to get and destroy that unbelief. And that is the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, chapter 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay, let's pause there. Take a good look at me now. Now he's talking to his disciples. The world loves you. Maybe there's something wrong with you. I could just make that one statement. I can just read this one verse and we can close. I'm not going to close. So I'll get another one. The world loves its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's interesting. The world hates you. And it doesn't really hate you. It hates God in you. The world system has a hatred for God's system. A belittling. Let me rephrase it. A belittling. Looking down at you because its signs of success are not the same signs of success that God has for you. The world exalts. God humbles. The further you go in the world, the more powerful you feel, the more strength you feel, the more liberated you feel, more powerful, more empowered to fix things. What gives you the faith that you're going to have your rent paid next month? My God, I got it in the bank right now. I'm safe next month. Are you worried about next month? No, I'm not worried about it at all because I got it in the bank. In God's kingdom, what liberates you to be at peace about your rent next month? I'm in His will. I have a Father who's provided for me my whole life. He'll be here tomorrow. Not that you can't prepare or can't have savings, but when you follow God and it takes you down this road where you hit these walls that say, hey, that's not wise. That's not wisdom. What they're telling you is the world has a wisdom to answer your problem. Now, you can't, let me do a disclaimer here. Pause. Disclaimer. I'm not talking about Christian denial. Saying, well, bless God, I don't have to work because my Father takes care of me. I don't have to do anything. We're talking about if God leads you down a path. If God says, do this, and it takes you down a path where you start seeing things stripping away from you, you can have faith that because you're obeying His walk, because you're in His will, that He'll provide for you. Verse 19, again. If you were of the world would love you, love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they keep my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also.
If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. See, one of the clues here for revival that we're after is not only the miracles that draw them in. Do you understand miracles are also going to bring accountability to the world? To say, you have no excuse not to follow God. The only reason you don't want to follow God is because you don't want to follow God. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, or the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus does not leave us alone in our walk. In every battle you're facing, let's forget about the church right now. Let's forget about the walls, the seats, the people sitting next to you. Let's talk about you. Because sometimes we can hide when we preach. If we preach about the church too much, most people amen it, but they exclude themselves. Because, yeah, you're talking about the guy next to me. Whether they're talking about quit sinning, then, you know, we amen, then we look at the guy next to us. Yeah, you better quit sinning. When we hear, God has revival for you, we go, amen. Then we look at the guy next to us and go, must be for you, because I know me, I'm still working on sinning, quitting sinning. So we can hide in a group and not realize, for you, Jesus did not leave you alone in this world. He has made it possible for his Father to become your Father. But the only way he, the Father, can father you is if you let him. See, when I was going through my struggle with finances, my problem was I didn't trust that God loved me enough, or that I was clean enough or worthy enough to earn provision. Understand, I'm coming out of 20 years of being taught, you better give in every offering. Now, the reason why God's not blessing you today is because you haven't put seed in the ground last year. If you want to harvest next year, you got to put seed in the ground this year. And seed produces after its own kind. If you want money, my brothers, you got to plant the seed of money. Otherwise, you don't have a harvest. If your harvest is low, it's because you didn't put enough seed in the ground. You hear that preached? I'm not preaching that now, but that was in my gut, in my core theology, that made me feel unworthy when I hit a signpost that says, you should have this much. It said, well, the reason you don't have this much is because you're unworthy. But I have a Father who loves me. And he led me down a path of torture, a path of torment. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy to go through that season of financial stress. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, because what it produced in me, it helped me to deal with the fears that were rooted in my fleshly mind, my fleshly emotions, my fleshly self-worth. That path that God put me on exposed in me the weaknesses of the power of the flesh to provide for myself, and brought me to a place of humility where, God, you're my everything. You're all I have. You're all I need. And all I need is to be in your will. All I care about, to be in your will. When I'm lonely, where do I go? I go to him. When I'm fearful, where do I go? I go to him. When I feel hopeless, like nothing's going to change, I go to him. I go to his word. And I remind myself, not in denial. I'm not trying to talk denial. I'm talking about a walk on purpose in faith to stay in his will. That, God, I won't change course no matter how it gets, what it looks like. My life belongs to you. And if you see fit to lead me to the jungles of Africa or the Amazon forest in Brazil where we have to eat monkeys and live in a hut, no telephone, no Wi-Fi, no air conditioning. I'm going to do that because my life is in your hands. And all of you said amen. You just looked at your person and said, have fun with no air conditioning. Have fun with no heater. For you guys, off to Alaska to reach the Eskimos, and you got to eat whale blubber and live in an igloo. The core of faith is obedience. I remember arguing with God, please, God, I've worked since I've been 13. I got my first job when I was 13 years old, washing dishes, a place called Philippine Village. I'd go wash dishes on the weekend, and they'd feed me with all the shrimp I could eat, the fried shrimp. I'd just get to go in the back and grab a handful and stick them in the fryer, and I could eat all the shrimp I wanted. I couldn't have the lobster, but I could eat the shrimp. And a percentage of the tips. That's what they paid me, and I'd spend Friday night. Don't talk to my parents. They shipped me out to work, 13 years old, and they had the big industrial dishwasher where you spray the dishes and you wash them. And I did that for a while, and said, God, I've worked since I've been 13. Let me get a job. Please, I hate this faith stuff. Let me get a job, because the faith stuff changed from believing for abundance to believing to stay in his will and fight the fear that he won't take care of me. And him taking care of me was different than the way the world would want to take care of me. I said, God, what about my kids? I got kids. I got to feed them. I got to take care of them. Surely I should get a job. Surely. Because God would not want me to abandon my kids. I'm a good father. But how many know he's a good, good father? And I discovered that in obeying him, he takes better care of my children than I can. He takes better care of my finances than I can. When I was bothered because I had a wealthy family promise me, these are Christians, pastors, very wealthy. Their income for their personal business was $110 million a year. They each, three members of the family separately pulled me aside when they found out I was leaving where I was at to go move to Tulsa and live by faith. And they said, Alan, God told me that I'm supposed to send you money every month. The pastor, and I still love and respect them, but the pastor said, Alan, God told me as a church we're going to send you. And he told me amount. And it was like, I won't tell you the amount, but it was more than I was making at the time. I was like, wow, I love this. This is great. I just had to step out in faith. And look already, this is the first week of stepping out of faith. I got all these promises. And I was like, what was wrong with me all those years? I should have done this years ago. And then because of Christian politics, I never heard from them again. And my hope was built up by their promises because they were men of integrity and they were friends that I loved who loved me, but politics got involved. They had to choose between me and so I remember driving my car with the big dent in it with the wheel. We had to attach the wheel to it because it fell off. And driving down the road with my son in the back seat and my wife sitting next to me one night driving. And I remember I was complaining. God, I was bitter because here I am driving beat up old car. They have Hummers. They have their own jet. And they gave me their word. What kind of Christian gives their word and goes back on it? I can't believe they would get my hopes up with me and my little family, trying to provide myself. And they would just turn their backs on me. Who does that? I was so bitter, complaining to God about this family. And God spoke to me and said, I'm the one that had them stop. See, I blamed the politics, but God said, I'm the one that had them stop. I said, you see, you think you're praying in tongues, but you're just complaining when you go, ooh, 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 ooh. What? How can that be? And he said, I want you to look at me as your provider, not man. See, and that these are the lessons of obedience. He takes you down a road to follow him. You can complain all you want. He doesn't mind your complaining as long as you're obeying. Just like when I tell my son, go clean your room, and he complains walking down the hallway. He can complain as long as he's walking down the hallway. Complaining is okay. That's you trying to make an argument for your flesh, but you're still obeying. Whining and crying, and that's all okay. You can have pity parties all you want, and as long as you stay in His will. It's when you fix it. See, your flesh is trying to get you to give it the power back to fix your problem. God already has an answer for any problem you're going to face. And when you learn by following Him to yield over to Him, day after day after day, it becomes natural for you to listen first and then obey. And then the opposite is true. You trying to please the world is more difficult. When I got offered a position that was every answer to every prayer I ever prayed, every prophecy I ever had, every dream I ever had, it was given to me in a package. Just take this position, you'll have all those things. TV, finances, position, ministry. One yes is all I had to give. And do you know, I didn't even have to pray about turning down that opportunity. There was nothing in me that wanted it. Because when you follow God, you're not led by opportunity. You're not led by frustration. I've been done wrong when someone comes to me and says, "Will you pray for me to get a new job?" Well, why? Well, I don't like my job. I'm not getting paid enough. The boss is mean to me. No one likes me. They don't let me pray at work. They don't let me read my Bible at work. And I have an opportunity for a job that lets me do all those things. I have to say, I can't pray that prayer. Why not? I mean, there's no Christians at my job. This other job is full of Christians. I have to explain to them, I can't pray that prayer. Why? Because God may want you at that job. Maybe you're the only Christian He can get to go there and stay there. Because He may be more interested in their salvation than He is with your comfort. Just like the mama that comes and says, "Will you pray for my son to get out of prison?" I say, "I can't pray that prayer." "What? Why not?" "Well, because maybe God wants your son in prison." "What?" "Well, I know my dad, my stepdad. He's a good man now. He's a great man now. But it was because he went to prison for a year that he turned his life around and quit drinking." I said, "Maybe God needs your son in prison for His sake. I know you want him out, but for His sake." So I can pray, "God, let your will be done," but I can't pray what your will is, because it may be different than His will. And that's not prayer. That's called witchcraft. Let's give our life to God. I feel the fruit of obedience into His will is coming to fruition this year. I feel that there's going to be much lines crossed of growth and maturity that are going to allow God to give us the many things we've been believing for. When it comes corporately as a group and personally for you personally. But keep in mind, it's built around obedience. It's built around staying in His will. The world has its plans, but the world only can give you peace if you submit to its plans. It won't fight you. But if you're going to follow God, it will belittle you. Listen, I'll close with this. You may have friends, family, workmates that treat you like you're crazy, because your decision making always goes back to, let me listen for God's direction before I say yes. I had one guy come to me, a famous preacher. You all know who he is. He was selling a product. And he said, "Well, I just decided instead of preaching about prosperity that I would help bring in prosperity. So every one of you just need to sign up. It's $32 a month. And you get a bottle and you sell it. And then you sign up people and God's going to bring you." "I've already got 100 people in my church making $10,000 a month. So you sign up under me." And so, I mean, they're all signing up. And he met me in the hallway after this service. That was a service, by the way. And after the service, he met me in the hallway. He said, "Alan, did you sign up?" I said, "No." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "First of all, I'm not very good at those things, and they never work out for me. and I don't feel God telling me to do it. And then his friend, his right-hand guy said, God tell you to do it? Of course God wants you to do it. God wants you prosperous. Now, I was a little more shy back then, so I didn't say what I thought. Us shy guys think things but don't say it. But what I thought was, oh, so you're a prophet now, are you? You're going to tell me what God wants to tell me? God tells me what he wants to tell me. I don't need you to tell me what God's telling me. Yeah, I didn't say that. I thought that. So the famous preacher interrupted. He said, Alan, listen, I've known you for years. Here's my card, my personal card. I want to see you prosperous. You call me, I'll help you, I promise. And that was it. I never called him. But see, you don't have to pray about those things because you know in your heart. But that's foolishness to some people. They may make fun of you. They may judge you. They may pick on you. They may have nicknames for you because the worldly system will belittle God's system. But listen carefully. No matter what they say or how they act towards you, they respect you because you can do something they can't do. The world system doesn't know how to operate in godly system. The natural world has no idea how on earth. They look at you, some of your friends look at you and they wonder, how do they do that? How do they do that? They don't know how you do it. You may be looking at your signposts. Don't look at their signposts thinking, well, I'm not doing very good. You look at God's signposts and trust that if I'm following God, there's great things ahead for us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to release you with that. God bless you. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.